3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery, joined now by a gentleman we've had on with us before, Coach Donnie Tindall, who joins us. Coach, I watched the show the other night, The Scheme on HBO, and I was kind of shocked and not shocked by some things that happened, but I certainly thought about a man who's currently serving a 10-year show cause and maybe one of the most outlandish penalties I've ever seen in my life administered by a group, the NCAA.
Well, come on, Coach.
Well, thank you. It's a little easier to chuckle about it now than it was a few years ago. But yeah, I think everyone's in agreement with some of the things that have went on. It's pretty outlandish, the penalty I received.
Well, let's go back to Tennessee, Coach Tindall, and you were hired in 2014. That 2014-15 season had to be a tough one, right, with NCAA sanctions and the investigation at Southern Miss kind of hanging over your head. You still go 16-16. You had a couple of wins against some top 25 teams, including Butler. What was going on within the program? How were you able to kind of keep driving toward that goal of getting to an NCAA tournament? Fell just short, but what was going through your head? What was the program like? How difficult was that year?
Well, I tell you, you know, we did a great job of overachieving that year, guys. You know, when we took over, there were only four returning players. So if you can imagine trying to sign nine SEC caliber of players in April, May, and June, we were picked dead last in the league, and we ended up finishing 10th out of 14, I believe. So we did overachieve. We did some good things. Obviously, you know, that's a big weight to bear where every day people are asking about it and it's hanging over your head. And you really can't comment on it because the NCAA rules, you're not allowed to comment on an ongoing investigation. So we just focused on the things we could control at the time, which was getting our team better. You know, I look back on it, and Josh Richardson was a guy that was a nice, solid player his first 3 years at Tennessee, and I moved him to the point guard position, and he goes on to be an all-SEC player and an early second-round draft pick, and he's going to end up playing 10 or 12 years in the NBA. So to have a 500 season for where we were picked, develop Josh into an NBA player in just a short one-year period, you know, looking back on it, we did do a pretty good job of doing the best we could to get through that situation.
As everything happened at Tennessee, though, Coach, and things were coming to an end and you're learning your fate with the NCAA, what was that like for you? And how do you deal with something like that when you're a guy who's worked his butt off to be a head basketball coach in the SEC and suddenly all that stuff gets taken away? What was that like?
Well, you know, as it was going on, There was really no thought in my mind that I was going to lose my job. My athletic director, Dave Hart, kept saying, hey, it's going to be a coach control penalty. You're probably going to get a 6-8 game suspension. And then when Adam Howard turned and said what he said, Dave panicked and let me go. We actually had a kid on campus, Rob Gray, who ended up being a heck of a player at Houston, who had committed to us and was on his official visit. So there were no signs or any awareness on my end that I was going to be let go. There's no way they're going to let you have a kid on campus for an official visit when they plan on firing you. But I think with the combination of Coach Barnes being let go at Tennessee and Dave Hart and Rick were good friends for a long time, they had the opportunity to maybe hire him. And then obviously all these things that Adam Howard went on to say that were never proven to be true. It was just a perfect storm for me to lose my job. So going into it or as it was all going on, I felt like we were going to get through it and survive it and be fine. Again, we overachieved, had a good year for where we were picked. So I was kind of blindsided, but then once it hit, you know, it's one of those things kind of like what we're going through now in regard to like, wow, is this really happening? Did this really happen? So it was a tough first year for sure. But once I got a chance to get back in the gym with Coach Stackhouse in Toronto and kind of get back on my feet and around the game, I've done my best to just put it behind me.
Do you think, Coach, had Tennessee stood behind you, that you would have received a 10-year show cause?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, the whole thing with the NCAA is if you have a school, an administration, a president, an AD behind you, they're not really going to mess with you a whole lot. It's when they don't back you and you go in there in front of that committee and you don't have a school or a president behind you backing you, they just tee off on you. And I think, you know, you've seen that with Bill Self of the world, Sean Miller's of the world, whether not guilty, whatever the perception is, the bottom line, the presidents and universities have stood behind them, and that's why they keep their job, which, again, I'm not saying they shouldn't keep their job. To me, that's what a strong president and AD do. They make them say prove it, which then they never did in my case. But the problem was when you don't have a school backing you, again, they just tee off on you. So, no, if they would have stood behind me, I probably would have got a 6 to 8 game suspension and still been the coach at Tennessee now.
Coach, I'm curious, along these lines, did you watch the scheme on HBO, and what stood out to you in that?
I did. I had a chance to watch it the other night, and, you know, I think the biggest thing is I don't know if anything stood out because all this has kind of been public knowledge for the last 8, 10, 12 months from different reporters. So I think most of everything that came out the other night had already been reported. And, again, I think whether people think a guy like Will Wade is guilty or not, at the end of the day, his president, his school, his athletic director has stood behind him, so therefore he keeps his job. Now, if at any point that changes and they don't stand behind him, then when he goes in, say, committee hearing, they'll bury him. But if the school stands behind him, then he'll be fine. He'll get a suspension of some kind and roll on.
Donnie Tindall with us now, head coach of the Grand Rapids Drive, former Tennessee coach, working through a ridiculous 10-year show cause. Coach, I'm curious, what was your reaction when you found out that it was a 10-year show cause? Was it one of disbelief? What were you feeling?
Yeah, I'll never forget it. My lawyer called me that morning, and when he told me, I literally thought he was joking. I chuckled and I said, For real, what they decide? And he said, Donnie, I'm not joking. They gave you 10 years. And I was like, wow. You know, I was stunned. Like, just could not believe it. But, you know, it's funny and it's ironic. The guy that chaired the NCAA case for me was a guy named Dave Roberts, who was a compliance guy and a lawyer at the University of Southern Cal. And he said in my hearing, to the people deciding the penalty, look, we wanted to make an example of Donnie Tindall. And they did. You know, it was a situation to get an SEC head coach and make an example of somebody that, you know, quote unquote, was in a Power 5 league and a head coach. And they did it. But, you know, what's funny, guys, is Dave Roberts said in my hearing, he said, Coach, we know there's no proof that you knew. There's no smoking gun to say you knew, but we just could not believe that you didn't know some of these things were going on. And, you know, it's ironic, about 3 years later, the biggest admission scandal in the history of college athletics were coaches at the University of Southern Cal that were taking bribes to get in, like, you know, some of the movie stars and celebrities' kids into school saying they were, like, on the rowing team. I know you're all familiar with that.
Yeah.
Well, Dave Roberts was the compliance director at USC, and all that was going on under his nose. So I'm sure if you ask Dave Roberts today, he'd say, well, heck, I had no idea any of that was taking place. But, yeah, he'd sit there and question me and say, how did you not know?
Rachel, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Another segment here with Coach Donnie Tindall as we continue to discuss college basketball and what he's been through over the last few years with the coach.
I mean, Dave Bliss got a 10-year show cause, and Donnie Tindall got a 10-year show cause, head coach of the Grand Rapids Drive. So we pick up the story, Coach. You get the 10-year show cause. You talked about your reaction. So at that point, you've got a family. At that point, you've got to think, okay, what do I do? My whole life, I've wanted to coach college basketball, and that's been taken away from me for 10 years. What do I do now? It had to lead to some dark days.
Well, no question about it. And I'd be interested to hear your thoughts and comments on the Dave Roberts deal with all that going on right under his nose. But here's a guy that I should have known. You know, it's such a hypocrisy. It really is. It's hilarious if you're looking at it from the outside in. But, you know, what I did my first year, I did a bunch of radio and TV stuff, shows like yourself, did some stuff with ESPN radio, et cetera. And I really thought I'd win my appeal and be able to get back and get the coaching again. And that didn't happen. We lost the appeal, which is a joke, too. I mean, literally the same people that decide your fate in the first trial or whatever it's called are basically the same people in the appeals committee. So it's laughable. But anyways, I knew I wanted to coach. There's nothing else I want to do with my life other than that. So I had to decide whether I wanted to go the junior college route or try to get into pro basketball. And Coach Casey, we had a mutual friend in Kentucky that had hooked us up when I first was let go at Tennessee. So I went to the Raptors Summer League that first summer I was out. And then Jerry Stackhouse got the G League job a year later. And between he and Coach Casey, they offered me a position as his lead assistant there. We won the championship, had a great year, and then the following year, my dad was dying of cancer, so I moved back to Michigan to kind of help with him, and then did some scouting for the Raptors. And then Coach Casey got the job here with the Pistons and brought me on board as an assistant coach in the G League last year and then named me head coach this past year. So just trying to work my way up the ladder. I really do love pro basketball. There's a lot of things I missed about college, but there's a ton of things I enjoy about this level. And we had a really good year this year. We were going to make the playoffs. We were number one defensive team in our league, number one in rebounding, number one in assists. So we were doing some good things. And obviously, like everybody, our season got cut short. So that was disappointing. But great, great year overall for me, and glad to kind of be on the path I'm on now.
Coach Donnie Tindall, our guest. What do you like about coaching the professional guys, Donnie, versus coaching college guys?
Well, I like both. The biggest thing about the professional level is just basketball. So, you know, you certainly have relationships with your guys off the floor, but you're not worried about curfew. You're not worried about class attendance. You're not worried about them being late for a meeting. I mean, they're pros, and basketball is what you do. And it's watching film. It's extra workouts. It's game planning. And that's all you do. So that part of it, because I'm a basketball junkie, I absolutely love. Now, I do think it's a different type of relationship. You know, at this level, you may be on the road and go have dinner with a guy, and it's nothing for him to order a beer with his dinner and you to have a glass of wine, and you're sitting there talking hoops with one of your players. I mean, you're not, you know, getting smashed with them, if you will, but that's just part of the culture and the life of pro basketball. And, you know, when you're dealing with college kids, it's, you know, how's everything with your girlfriend? How's things back home? How's your classes going? So it's just a different climate of what you're talking about and the maturity level of the people you're dealing with.
You actually ended up with a Tennessee guy, right? Jordan Bone. Curious how he was doing.
Yeah, Jordan had a great year. You know, he's what is called a two-way player. Each NBA team gets two-way players. He was one of our two guys. Had some great moments for us. You know, was called up at different times to the big team throughout the season and showed some nice flashes. He's the guy that was a second-round draft pick for us. So he'll be with us in summer league. And, you know, he left a year early, so he's still a young guy growing and developing every day. The NBA game is totally different from college in regard to just all the pick and rolls, and not just offensively but defensively. learning the coverages and getting into the ball and all the things you have to do at this level. So it was an adjustment for him like all young guys, but I thought he did a great job, and this will be a big summer for Jordan.
Donnie Tingle, our guest. Coach, I wanted to ask you this question. Just cause I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. So for the longest time, if you follow pro baseball, they always said the biggest sin in baseball was betting on baseball, and that may have changed now. Maybe it's cheating with video equipment and beating on trash cans or something along those lines, but there's always been a biggest sin in baseball. I will ask you this, Donnie Tindall. What's the biggest sin in college basketball?
Well, I mean, I think most people would say paying players would be the biggest sin. But, you know, I mean, I think that's been proven to be going on for a long time. So I don't know if there's a biggest sin because no one's really treated the same way. You know, Coach A may do this and get a 1 to 3 year show cause, and Coach B may do this and get a 10-year show cause. So that's a tough question. I don't think the way the NCAA does things, there's any real logical answers to what's the worst thing or what's just kind of trivial, because they judge the way they want to depending on who they're dealing with.
Donnie Tindall with us on 3HL. Donnie, let's go back to that USC Dave Roberts thing. So how closely were you watching that? We called it the Aunt Becky scandal, right? With these Hollywood types and coming up with these stories to get their kids into school. How closely were you following that story? And then when you find out that USC is involved and Dave Roberts was there, is there part of you that wants to go back to the NCAA and go, hey, man, I got 10 years for this and this was going on?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you'd love to be able to do that, but they would never let that happen. But, you know, Dave Roberts has got to lay his head on the pillow every night, and he probably never thinks twice about what he did to me and my family, et cetera. But if you could have just seen how arrogant he was in saying, Coach, we just could not believe that you didn't know. We just could not believe that. Like, so arrogant and so pompous in the way he said it. And yet 3-4 years later, the biggest scandal in the history of college admissions was literally going on right underneath his nose. It's like, really? Now are you going to say you didn't know, Dave, and expect people to believe you?
Well, that's the thing about, you know, the Yahoo story with Dan Wetzel like a year ago about Will Wade and Sean Miller. And then we see it and we hear it, the FBI wiretaps and the tone of voice and all of those things, and strong ass offer. And it shouldn't be this hard because I've done this before. And this is a 2 or 3 year kid anyway. And then LSU the very next day goes, yeah, we're aware of the HBO piece and he's still our coach. I mean, so you had a guy say, there's no way you couldn't have known. We believe that you knew, even though we don't know that you knew. Here's 10 years. Well, Will Wade's voice told you he knew, and he's still employed.
Yeah, again, it just goes back to, Brent, that the bottom line is that they deal with each individual case, and it's a separate entity. And for whatever reason, they don't deal and treat people the same. And if your school stays behind you, which to this point LSU has, then usually the NCAA will not mess with you, and they'll just give you some token penalty. Again, 5, 6, 7-game suspension. If you don't have a school behind you, like when Bruce Pearl went in there and Tennessee had not been behind him, he gets a 3-year show cause for a barbecue. So it's all going to come down to if these schools stay behind their coach. If they support them, then I'm telling you, you watch, they'll be fine. If they don't, then they'll tee off on them like they did me.
Donnie Tindall, so let me ask you this, Coach, because I'm really curious about this. Let's say a team reaches out to you tomorrow, Lamar University or Morehead State or anybody, heck, Central Michigan, anybody, and they say, Donnie, hey, where are you in this? We'd like for you to come and coach our team. Can you ask for some type of reprieve? Can you ask for a shortening of this show cause? Is there anything you could do to get out of this purgatory before 10 years at this point? Anything?
No, because what's so bad, too, is like not only did they give me the show cause, but my show cause says I can't coach or recruit. So I could go somewhere as like director of operations or special assistant to the head coach, you know, a non-coaching position. And most all the other show cause penalties they've given to people, they haven't given the non-coaching penalty. It's just been, if someone wants to hire you, they have to go in front of the committee and say why. So even if, like, Morehead State, where I played and coached previously, right, wanted to hire me, I can't, because the show cause isn't just for them to go say, well, we want to hire him. It's the fact that I can't coach. So, no, the only way we could have done anything was to fight him in federal court. And I would have won in federal court. The problem is it's going to cost about $3 million to ever get your lawyers to get to that point. And obviously I don't have that. So this is just the path I'm on. And, you know, when you look at some other guys out there that have got some second chances, going back to Coach Pearl here recently with Coach Pitino and Billy Gillespie, you know, I think there'll be a chance someday I get another opportunity, but right now my goal is to just climb this NBA ladder and see what happens.
Coach, is it hard to not be bitter? I just look at your story. I listen to it. If I were in that position, I think that it would be tough for me to not be bitter about it. How do you handle that?
Yeah, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I wasted about two and a half years of my life being bitter. I used to kind of make fun of people saying they were depressed and say, well, that's just a rich person's word for being moody. You know, we're all probably depressed at times. But when you go through something like that, you kind of find out there were a ton of dark days. And, you know, I sat around on the couch. I wasn't excited about anything day to day. And finally, after about two and a half years, I said, look, now I got to get this behind me. I got to get back in shape. I got to take care of my health. And I've done that. But to say that I'm still not resentful or that I don't think about it every day, I certainly do. And I think anyone that would say otherwise would be lying to you. But I put it behind me the best I could. I've always been a big dreamer. And, you know, my dream was always being a head coach in SEC. And I was the youngest head coach in SEC my year there. So I did some things people never thought I would do. And my goal now is to be a head NBA coach. Now, I realize there's only 30 teams, and that may be a very, very unrealistic goal, but that is my goal, and we'll see what happens. But, yeah, there's been some tough days, and I'd be lying to you if I didn't say I was resentful and had some bitterness, but I've done my best to just kind of put that behind me.
Well, here's hoping, Donnie, that you'll be an NBA head coach here soon, and you can use that as a big middle finger to the NCAA.
I hear you. You know, and it's amazing how many people, like big-time coaches, even athletic directors, that have reached out to me over the last few years and just said, hey, we know you got a horrible deal. Keep your head up. People that really know the deal are behind you and support you, and you'll get another chance. So maybe they're just being kind and saying that, but that's coming from some Hall of Fame-type coaches. So we'll see, but I agree with you. That'd be nice to be able to give them that salute one day.
Well, Coach, in the meantime, we'll be rooting for you and the Grand Rapids Drive. Thanks so much for all the time today and for the honesty. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you again soon.
You got it. You guys have a great weekend.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Coach Donnie Tindall, we'll get into our reactions from this when we come back. Also, wow, there's some news from the governor of Tennessee. We're going to get into that at the start of the 4 o'clock hour, but maybe your reaction from this, from what you heard, 615-737-1045 or at 3HL1045 on Twitter. That's coming up next. But first, message from my buddies at the Nashville Predators. They know we're all in the same boat right now. Everybody's social distancing, right? You can't even go ice skating if you want to right now, much less go to the best experience that there is downtown on a, you know, cool winter's night, or heck, even into the warm weather months, we'd still be enjoying our Preds hockey right now. Go downtown, hit up your favorite watering hole or eatery, and you head on down to Smashville. It's the best. We all know that. And they'll be back when all this craziness is over, we'll get right back into hockey. It's going to be amazing. Remember this, next year, you're going to have your chance to we'll be right back into those full season deals. And the Preds just say, hey, remember them. They got full season ticket plans. They got half season ticket plans, even quarter season, where you pick the plan that fits your schedule with 10 games. No matter what, you'll enjoy the same season for every game, and you'll be in Smashville watching hockey, and it's going to be awesome when we all get to go back. You want some more information? When it's time for you to look into some Preds tickets, here's where you go. NashvillePredators.com/seasons.
So.